In Chicago, two comedian skeptics named Andy and Art were mysteriously abducted by the illusionary mastermind and conspiracy theorist known only as Mr. Bunker. The following serves as a record of Bunker's attempt to convince non-believers of the truth about conspiracies and paranormal activity. Andy and Art give an uninterrupted presentation and verdict on the plausibility of these offbeat topics, delivering what they call the whole enchilada. Will Mr. Bunker convince these two skeptics any of this is real? Will it convince you?
Welcome to Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast. As always, I'm your co-host, Art Stone, and with me, as always, is your co-host, Andy Hart.
Hi, Art!
Hi.
Hey, it's good to be here. You know, I am just so thrilled to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
No, Andy. We are both co-hosts of the show.
Oh, that's
right. You need to pull your weight as well, sir.
Well, I've got a lot of work to do then.
Oh, Andy, you're my little snow bunny today, huh?
Yeah.
Trudged through the snow. There's at least 5, 6, 8 feet of snow outside.
At least 14 feet of snow outside right now. And I have converted my home into an igloo.
Wow.
I am ice fishing constantly for sustenance and pleasure. It's been a fun winter.
It's been a fun winter, Andy, but you know, in the wintertime, the skies outside, they get real dark, and you might see some lights.
That's true. Like the light from Rudolph's nose on Santa's
right.
sleigh.
People don't know that Santa actually still circles the globe, and he acts as a protector.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a reason that, interdimensional demons have never attacked the Earth.
It's because Santa has a 50 caliber machine gun mounted on his sleigh, and he shoots him down.
Yeah, he's murdered plenty.
I don't know that about Santa. Missing piece of the lore.
Yeah, yeah. Not a lot of coverage of that, but, you know, it's in that poem.
It's very true. Well, you know, Andy, some nice folks over in Arizona might have seen some lights as well back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Segway.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. You know, folks in Arizona love Santa Claus. And one thing that they love to do is see weird shit in the sky.
Well, that's because, like, today's topic is the Phoenix Lights.
The Phoenix Lights, which, you know, I guess it sounds like a semi-pro sports team, but it's actually a UFO encounter.
That's true. This is a very popular UFO encounter, considered one of the most credible.
Yeah, yeah. This is one where there's lots of documented sightings. There are tons of witnesses.
A couple of jokesters in this one as well, Andy.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. There's some people who like to have a little bit of fun. Okay, bunk bunkers.
This episode actually comes to us specially requested by none other than Jeremy G.
Jeremy G.
Jeremy Spoker.
Yeah, Jeremy. Jeremy suggested this episode.
Yep.
And we teased this at some point in the past.
Yeah, like 3 or 4 episodes ago. We don't know.
Bunker alarm. And now it's come to fruition.
That's
and
right.
We're going to talk about it. The Phoenix Lights.
There you go, Bunk Funker. See, you send in an email, you suggest a topic, and within a matter of weeks, we got to this one. Sometimes we don't get to them for a little while.
Not all on the same schedule, but hey.
If you can't wait to get into the Phoenix Lights, I mean, this is a great one. This is really an in-depth UFO encounter, or alleged UFO encounter, I should say.
Yeah.
Lots of different stuff to cover here. Lots of different sightings, stories to tell. Spanned almost a decade. And if you can't wait to get to it, check out the timestamp in the episode description in the show notes. It'll help you know when to scrub right ahead to when the research begins. Because first, Andy and I, we got to talk about, I mean, the bunker lore. I mean, you know, you want to talk about the Phoenix Lights being one of the most credible, like, groundbreaking UFO encounters. The bunker lore is... Okay, these analogies have nothing to do with one another. The bunker lore has been shook up.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. Bunker...
And I'm fucking charged up about it.
The bunker lore has gone through... it's a windy road to get to where we are today. And there's been a lot of developments recently. And this is no different today.
Now, we know about probably 30 to 40% of you stuck around and listened to the almost hour-long intro on last week's episode. And a lot of lore was exposed on that episode.
Yeah.
Our good friends, the Hamiltons, came on the show. Apparently, they were abducted by Mr. Bunker. They were brought to a moose lodge, an elk lodge.
Some sort of a fraternal order.
Where apparently Mr. Bunker, through them, gave them network notes for us.
Yeah.
To tell us how to better our show.
Yeah.
We were a little peeved about it, but at the end of the day, you know what, Andy? We took our paddling, because the Hamiltons did come and paddle our butts.
That was part of the agreement.
They spanked our butts off air.
Yeah.
Ian put us both over his little knee.
And
spanked our butts.
Wailed away. With his little paddle.
So did Natalie.
Yeah.
It was very weird. But it was something that needed to be done.
It was weird, but if we had to do it again, it would be fine.
Yeah.
I would submit to it again if I had to.
It might have awakened some things in Andy. We don't know.
I need to learn a lesson.
Regardless, you know, we took it on the chin.
And on the ass.
In some ways, we took it on our backs.
Yeah.
And in other places, we took it on our tummies.
Yeah.
We had a lot of cleaning up to do.
We should have. Yeah, we should have.
It was very messy.
We should have put down a tarp.
We should have put down a tarp is right, Andy. But, you know, we were thinking about. Sorry. I brought a balance ball into the bunker, bunk bunkers, to use as a footrest, and it is rolling all over the place.
The bunker is very uneven.
You know, Andy, We were gonna sit here and we're like, all right, well, I guess I need to go get a snake, and you know, you need to start like just being a more accepting, better person in general.
Yeah. Yours was pet related, and mine was all about my shitty personality.
You know, in other ways, you know, we needed to make other updates to the show where we kind of tried to get back to this golden age of bunker. You know, a lot of other things, and we are ready to do that.
Yeah.
We are ready to do that. But then we got a little message from someone who I can only describe as our deep throat. This person might not know that they're described that way.
Yeah. But look, they've been deep throating for us for a little while now and have provided invaluable information. Mr. Bunker and his goings-ons.
He's been a whistleblower for a long time and a loyal bunk funker. This is none other than professional disc golf player Rocky.
Yeah. Yeah. Rocky,
All pro
disc golf player, well-known blower of whistles, deep throater for this show.
He made it very far into the, he made it, I think, into the almost the divisional championship or the conference championship, rather, of the... Mm-hmm.
DGCC.
The DGCC of the 2020 Disc Golf Championship.
Yeah, there was a lot of competition to win the Chained Cup. And I think Rocky's got the legs to go the distance.
But Rocky has exposed so many bunker secrets that have helped us along the ways. Rocky was the one who exposed the bunkla and the Kia Soul, some of this other bunker sightings where he's walking around trying to hire more cryptids to replace us. And Rocky sent us a little message saying, I was thinking about this yesterday. Your guests / rivals just moved to Austin, which they did.
Yeah.
Guess who else just moved to Austin? The real Elon Musk. How could we be so fucking blind?
Wow.
Elon Musk is moving his factories to Austin.
Hmm. He packed up and brought the Tesla factory with him.
Yeah. The real Elon Musk. I think it was him that took your friends / rivals to dinner. I think he is sabotaging you by giving you false bunker pointers from said dinner. Who knows what he may try next? Maybe he might be trying to start a podcast called Mr. Musk's Science Truth Time podcast. Bunk Funkers, I have never been so PO'd.
I can verify. Art,
I'm fucking
peeved. Is visibly PO'd right now.
My pooper?
Peeved. Fully peeved.
My butt? It's hurt.
It's
And that's not related to the show.
It's not.
That's because I had to shovel.
It's not related to the bare butt spanking that we got from Ian and Natalie.
Andy, I'm pissed about this stuff. What about you? I can't believe this.
Here's the thing, Andy, we
need to be ride or die on this, buddy.
Here's the thing for me.
Oh boy.
Here's the thing for me.
I'm gonna have a sip of tea.
This adds another wrinkle. And I think maybe it's actually good for us. Maybe Mr. Bunker hasn't been planning this whole time to replace us. Maybe he needs the Bunkvengers to fight Mr. Musk's Science Time podcast.
I mean, maybe, Andy. I don't know. I'm not.
Or it could be that we're so hated that everybody's trying to drive us off the airwaves, which I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that to a T, that's for sure. But this has me, this has my feathers ruffled.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm PO'd. I think we foolishly tried to trust one of our arch nemesis who has obviously corrupted our princess.
Mm-hmm.
He's like Bowser. He's got it trapped in another castle, and we're both Mario.
Yeah. Neither one of us is Luigi.
Neither one of us wants to be Luigi. We're both Mario. We're just sharing the same Mario costume.
Yeah.
We cut the mustache in half.
Yeah, it's too you know, they're just coveralls, so it's real easy to stick two heads through the top. Yeah.
And we both hang out in pipes a lot and eat a lot of mushrooms.
And stomp on animals that we find. And we always constantly ram our heads into bricks to see what's inside.
I mean,
it's scary.
Well, listen, I mean, here's the thing. You know, Andy, we don't know what Bunker is up to, if he's working with us, working against us. Either way, we decided we've had enough of it.
Yeah.
And we're going to go after him where it hurts, in his pocketbook.
Yeah.
We Bunk Funkers, you know, that's why we basically have decided to, we've been doing a short squeeze on the Bunkless stock.
Yeah.
Mr. Bunker went public with the Bunkless stock. And we've been squeezing it.
Yeah.
We've been squeezing his stocks.
Yeah.
His little stockings. We've been squeezing them.
Yeah.
We're buying up that Bunkless stock. We're buying it up. We're buying the dip, Andy.
Yeah, as far as we know, nobody is trying to short Bunkless stock because it's already super low priced.
It's very low. I mean, a couple cents.
So
it's very cheap.
We just keep buying it, and the price just keeps not moving.
But we're still putting the hurt on him.
Yeah, he's feeling the pain.
We're basically, Andy and I are both, I mean, we're dressed up in our best glam metal outfits, and we're not going to take it.
No.
We both look like Dee Snider, and we're not going to fucking take it.
We're
giant pink football pads with blown out teased hair and makeup.
Yeah, we look like road warriors, but, you know, fluorescent.
Yeah. We're not going to take it anymore, Andy.
No, we're tired.
We're standing up to Mr. Bunker.
You know, we've been pushed around for too long.
It's very true.
You know, we've been pushed around by Mr. Bunker. We've been driven around by Peon Musk.
Yeah.
We've been had our job security threatened.
It's very true.
By the Bunkvengers. And now we have Elon Musk conspiring with our arch nemesis, Ian, to set us up for disaster.
Yeah. I mean, we're Elon Musk Science Truth Time podcast. I mean, what kind of name is that? Fucking goofy.
It's so long.
It's so long and obnoxious.
Yeah. It's like you couldn't even really like put it on any merchandise or anything. And it's hard to like, I mean, how would he even like make social media like profiles for that podcast? Because the name is so long and unwieldy.
You'd have to like shorten it to something stupid like
Mr. Musk's pod or something.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's stupid. Nobody's going to be able to find you. You're just hamstringing yourself right from the get-go.
We're not going to take it anymore. We're buying up that Bunkless stock. I mean, we're just buying it up. We're buying the dip. And we're buying dip and we're starting to chew tobacco. And
I'm losing teeth left and right. And by God,
we're losing teeth. We're losing sleep over this.
Teeth and sleep. I think, you know, it's fair if somebody said our approach is a little bit scattershot and that what we're doing doesn't make sense. But you got to think about the big picture here. And that's,
yeah, maybe some people have said, like, I am financially advising you to not go this course of action.
Sure, a few people have said that.
In quotes. I'm quoting.
Yeah. People have said that, but this is about sending a message.
This is about sending a message. It's about standing up for what you believe in.
Yeah.
This is about doing the right damn thing, Bunk Funkers. We're not going to take it anymore. Season 3, out the door. We care now.
Yeah, we care more than ever.
Yeah.
And that's going to be demonstrably true in every episode.
Oh yeah, you're gonna see it.
You're gonna feel it.
You're gonna feel it in your ears.
Look, all this stuff that Rocky's been deep throating us, he has exposed himself to so much. He's and exposed us to so much information. And frankly, you know, we're at like maximum exposure here. We're fully exposed. Yeah. And we're ready to fight back.
Yeah. I mean, you could say that we're a couple of exhibitionists because we're ready to throw down.
Yeah.
We're ready to rip off our trench coats and get in there.
Yeah.
Grease ourselves up and go to battle.
Yeah. We're short squeezing. These are not, you know, this is a naked short. We're squeezing it.
Yeah. We're running naked and we're squeezing shorts and we're going we're going hog wild, baby.
We're streaking into 2021.
Yeah.
With, you know.
We're hitting Bunker where it hurts, right in the pocketbook. And Bunk Funkers, I mean, I'm sorry to say, you're gonna have to pick some sides. You're either on side of the Mr. Bunker or you're on the side of Andy and Art.
Yeah. And we need to know.
Because we're occupying Bunk Street, baby.
Yeah.
We're occupying the bunker. It's happening.
That's right. We live here now. Look at us, Mr. Bunker. We are the bunker now.
I am the one who bunks. I don't know. You've never seen Breaking Bad. It works. People get it. Bunk Funkers, I'm sorry to say this, that this is like some kind of, you know, this is obviously some sort of bunk revolution is going on.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, there's a rift in the bunker. And I think stay tuned for what people are calling, you know, this is going to be some sort of Bunk Vengers, I don't know, civil court?
Bunk Vengers civil court.
The Bunk Vengers civil court. I mean, it's coming.
That's happening. That's our end game, a lawsuit.
So we'll keep you posted. I mean, I think next week's episode, you know, we'll have some more information for you. But right now, we are squeezing Bunker shorts left and right, trying to buy this dip, and we're trying to short his stocks and really hit him where it hurts.
Yeah, we're trying to score.
I don't understand how a lot of this stock shit works, but if it's anything like GameStop, AMC, Nokia, BBY, BBW, BBC,
BB8,
BB8. BB-8's the only thing I would buy stock from in those movies. I love that little fucking soccer ball.
I mean,
God, he's cute.
I invested in all of them. I invested in BB-8.
BB-Yoda.
I dropped a ton of coin on BBW and BBC. And, you know, it was good returns.
I think you're gonna see a big rift in the bunker lore. I mean, we're going to make certain people. We're going to put the squeeze on Elon Musk. He's going to have to pick a side.
Yeah, he's got to pick a side. You know, Elon Musk, has been a bunker henchman, basically.
Yeah, but we're kind of like chummy.
Yeah. I mean, we feel like put that katana in his back.
That's true. Who put the katana in his back?
And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's some sort of sword in the stone thing. Whoever removes the katana from Elon Musk's back,
yeah,
you know, ultimately controls the bunker.
That's right. We'll see where it goes here, Bunk Funkers, but I think there is a storm a brewing.
Yeah.
And pick what ship you want to go down in. Cause both are going down.
Because this is a mutually assured destruction situation.
Yeah. Well, speaking of mutually assured destruction, we have a bunker alarm.
Woo! Very special one.
Very special one, right,
yeah,
Andy?
Yeah. This is a really special one because this is This is a two-timer on the bunker alarm.
This guy has two-timed us.
He's two-timed the whole bunker alarm community.
I don't know who this guy is, but I don't know. We're just having a lot of fun with him.
Yeah.
He's just a real fun guy. I don't know who he is.
Yeah, he's a fun guy.
Yeah.
So this week's Bunker Alarm recipient is none other than Jeremy G.
Jeremy Spoken.
And you'll remember that we recently rang the Bunker Alarm for Jeremy for sending in a nice message to the Bunker email.
That's right.
And providing today's episode topic.
Uh-huh.
But we're ringing it today for perhaps the most special reason of all.
Oh, very special.
Jeremy is our newest Patreon patron.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy, for joining the Patreon, patreon.com/MrBunkerPod. We appreciate the support of all of our patrons, Jeremy included. It means a lot to us. Helps keep the lights on here in the bunker. Helps fund our new civil war that we're having with Mr. Bunker.
Yeah.
Helps
fund our legal aggression fund. Our
legal aggression fund. That's very true. And it helps us come out with, you know, cool stuff that we have planned.
Yeah.
Later on in the year. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Some of you, the patrons are going to get first dibs on all this information.
Yeah.
You know, bunker merch might be on the way and patrons are going to get first dibs.
Yeah. You patrons are going to want to check this stuff out.
They get sneak peeks of episodes and a whole bunch of shit. But Jeremy, thank you so much.
We so appreciate it. You're a cool guy. We're glad to count you among our most prominent bunk funkers, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. This alarm's for you, Jeremy. Okay. Longtime bunk funkers will know, first time bunk funkers are going to find out. For our bunker alarm, we use a very sophisticated piece of technology called the Bunk Tech Bunker Alarm 3000.
That's right.
What it allows us to do is to play a perfectly synced alarm for today's recipient, who is Jeremy. So I'm just going to go ahead and program an alarm.
Oh. I hit my elbow, bunk bunker, sorry.
That wasn't very humorous. Okay, I think we're ready to go.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, the Bunk Tech Bunker Alarm 3000 is very high tech. And, you know, we could just push a button and let it go, but Art and I are traditionalists. That's why we always eat turkey constantly. And so we like to do a little bit of a countdown just for funsies. So here we go. Jeremy, this alarm's for you. 3, 2, 1.
Wow.
Ooh, that was a real fancy one.
Sounded like a drum rudiment.
Yeah.
One of the 40
this
rudiments.
Is like King Jeremy. Welcome to the court.
King Jeremy has spoken in class today, and thank you. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Hope you enjoyed your double bunk alarm adventure. Yeah. And thank you for today's topic. I mean, this is really, this whole episode almost dedicated to Jeremy.
This is the episode of Jeremy. Maybe we'll call this the Jeremy episode.
That's right.
The one with Jeremy.
The one with Jeremy. Well, speaking of the one, we got two. I don't know. I fucked this one up big time. There's like two kind of main sightings in today's topic, Andy. UFO sightings.
Yeah. I mean, we're gonna there's like two like general things,
right.
And you know, we're gonna put it all into one episode, we're gonna go do that now.
We're gonna get to it. This is the Phoenix Lights here on Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast. Now I'm over here.
Sun, sun, I live for the sun. I live for the sun, Art. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh. But I also live for the celestial sun. or Hot Orby Boy, as I call it. That's why we're headed out to Arizona today, the Valley of the Sun, where there's about 300 days of sunshine per year. It gets hot, baby. But it's a dry heat. Ooh, just the way I like it. There's no wet-ass P-words where we're going.
I love Arizona too, Andy. I mean, besides the sun, you can see some other big stars in the great state of Arizona. Here's a list, Andy. You got Earl Hinman, the guy who played Wilson on Home Improvement.
Is Tim Allen here?
Hey. Oh, tool time. I love tools. I'm Tim Allen. I smuggled cocaine and did some time in jail.
Anyway. Alice Cooper! School's out. Forever. Because everybody's remote. David Spade went to high school in Arizona.
Yeah.
Very funny guy. Tommy boy. Ted Danson.
Oh, sitcom royalty.
Royalty. I mean, he's been on a bunch of different sitcoms. Yeah. Having a great late career resurgence.
A resurgence. Cheers was not the end.
No. And last but not least, my queen, the divine Ms. Stevie Nicks.
Wow.
I mean, great music in the later years of Fleetwood Mac. Rumors, one of the best albums of all time. You disagree?
No.
You're making a face.
I'm
a lot just, of cocaine.
I'm just...
And while all
recurring
these celebs...
theme in that list.
What's up?
Recurring theme in that list, cocaine.
Oh, yeah. Well, and while all these celebs are heavenly to me, Andy, if you go to Arizona, you might actually see something from the heavens itself. Not of this earth, I mean. Maybe an extraterrestrial flyover. And that's exactly what some people think happened during one of the most widely witnessed UFO events in history, the Phoenix Lights event.
That's right, Art. The Phoenix Lights, maybe sometimes called the Lights over Phoenix, were UFO sightings in the skies over Nevada and Arizona on the night of March 13th, 1997. Oh man, what a time, 1997. Personally, I had just retired from my first career as an orderly at a state-run sanatorium in Montana. I was living on a rundown ranch house that was situated on about 200 acres of pristine, beautiful plains land just outside Plentywood. That winter was it was pretty rough, though. During one snowstorm, we got 3 feet of snow.
Wow.
It's a lot of snow. Times were tough. It was hard to get out, and I had to eat my best friend, Chumbawamba. Not the band. It was a moose I raised from a baby. I miss Chumbawamba. I knew I would, too. Before I even murdered Chumbawamba for food, I said, "I'll be missing you, Chumbawamba."
Wow. That's a really sad story.
I know! But I'm all cried out. I had to move on. Let's face it, Art. Despite the bittersweet symphony that crescendoed during that long, dark winter, I've still led a semi-charmed kind of life, baby.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, those Phoenix Lights, huh?
Hmm?
Good Lord, you have lived quite the life, Andy. We're going to get you the whole enchilada, bunk funkers, on this topic. But to get us started, here's the basic idea. Plenty of people, I mean, allegedly more than 700, that's a lot.
A lot.
Reported seeing lights of varied descriptions between a little bit before 8 p.m. local time to about 10:30 p.m. Lights were seen in Nevada and through the state of Arizona all the way to Tucson, a distance of about 300 miles. Depending on who you ask or what source you consult, there are some varied ways of categorizing the event, with some sources describing different numbers of events and some categorizing the sightings as different parts of the same big event. But for us, we're going to say that there are two separate events that night. First, earlier in the night, what's generally described as a triangle-shaped set of lights were witnessed flying over Arizona. And second, later in the night, some stationary lights were witnessed in the Phoenix area.
Now let's dig into this first event. Things got started about 7:55 p.m. Mountain Time near Henderson, Nevada, which is basically like a suburb of Las Vegas, kind of. That's when a man reported seeing a V-shaped object in the sky above Henderson. The man said the object was comparable in size to a Boeing 747 jet, had 6 lights on the front, and sounded like, quote, rushing wind, end quote. The reported path of the lights was from the northwest to the southeast. Heading southeast took the lights directly into Arizona, and folks there wasted no time in witnessing these lights. At around 8:15 p.m., a retired police officer in Paulden, Arizona, called in a report to the National UFO Reporting Center, which we're going to call New Fork for short. New Fork is an organization that looks into UFO sightings and possible extraterrestrial contacts by humans. They have a hotline to report UFO sightings, and the Paulden police officer was the first of many to use the hotline on March 13, 1997. The retired officer reported that while driving north, they saw a group of five reddish-orangish lights in a V-shaped formation, like a wedge or a boomerang shape. There were four lights traveling together, with the fifth light following behind them. According to the witness, each light seemed to actually be made up of two separate sources of light. The officer went home and watched the lights with binoculars for about two more minutes until they went over the horizon.
Only about 2 minutes after the Paulden officer made the report, New Fork was flooded with calls, and so were other UFO organizations, I mean, local law enforcement, local media, and even the local military concern, Luke Air Force Base. More on them in a bit.
Oh, you little stinker.
The locations of these calls suggested that whatever people were seeing, it was moving southeast. All these reports made by witnesses didn't agree with each other exactly 100% exactly, but witnesses reported different numbers of lights, you know, different colors of lights, different rates of travel for the object. Many witnesses reported that the object was solid as it blocked out a lot of the sky when it flew over. To give you an idea of what people were seeing, we're going to talk about some of the sightings that happened in the Prescott and Prescott Valley areas of Arizona, which are kind of like cities north and a little west of Phoenix. In Prescott Valley, John Kaiser was outside with his wife and their sons when the family saw a group of lights west, northwest of where they were. The lights they saw were in a triangular formation, and all of the lights looked red except for the leading light, which looked white. The Kaiser clan watched the lights through binoculars for like 2 to 3 minutes before the object or objects passed directly over them. The lights then did a bank to the right and flew off to the southeast. The family could not discern the altitude of the lights, but noted it seemed pretty low. And they also reported the object made no sound whatsoever.
Tim Lay, his wife Bobby, his son Hal, and his grandson Damien all saw the lights when the lights were over Prescott Valley, which was roughly 65 miles from their location. The family got to watch the lights over the course of around 10 minutes as the lights got closer and closer. First, the lights seemed arranged in an arc-like pattern. As the lights came closer, they looked like a V-shape. Then, when the lights were just a couple miles away, they looked triangular, with one light in the center and two lights to each side. As they watched, the object went right over their street, where they estimated it was only 100 to 150 feet above them. They reported the object was moving so slowly it seemed like it was hovering. It was also completely silent. And this thing was pretty big, too. Pretty big. Tim said that when the right side of the object was above them, the left side of it was a couple of blocks away. The object then continued on its way, heading southeast.
Now, here's another report that came in from around Prescott. And actually, Andy, we have a tape of this one.
Oh, neat.
Whilst doing astrophotography, I observed five yellow-white lights in a V formation, moving slowly from the northwest across the sky to the northeast, then turn almost due south and continue until out of sight. The point of the V was in the direction of movement. Now, the first three lights were in a fairly tight V, while two of the lights were further back along the lines of the V's legs. And during the northwest to northeast transit, one of the trailing lights moved up and joined the three and then dropped back to the trailing position. I estimated the three light V to cover about 0.5 degrees of sky, and the whole group of five lights to cover about 1 degree of sky.
Now, for you space freaks out there, half a degree of sky is roughly the apparent size of the moon in the sky. So again, what we're trying to say here is this was a sizable object.
Mm-hmm. Now, for just a little bit of context on the whole event, this witness doing astrophotography was not alone in watching the stars that night and finding themselves in the middle of a UFO encounter. March 13th, 1997 was prime viewing time to see the Hale-Bopp comet. The comet had been visible to the naked eye for most of the time since May of 1996 and made its closest approach to Earth on March 22nd, 1997. So there were plenty of folks out hoping to catch a glimpse of the comet, but they got so much more. Next, calls started to come in around 8:30 to 8:45 p.m. from the Glendale, Arizona area, which is just a few miles northwest of downtown Phoenix. Witnesses in the Glendale area saw the lights fly overhead high enough to pass above some thin clouds. A mother and her four daughters reported watching the object move toward their location. Once it arrived, it hovered over the family for 5 minutes. The family reported they could make out features on the surface of the object. After the object finished hovering, it began to slowly fly away in the direction of Phoenix's Sky Harbor International Airport. The witnesses reported seeing the object fire a beam of light at the ground as it flew away. Now, there's no definitive word on if any cattle were missing after that little stunt. That's the real conspiracy. Where are the cattle?
Where'd those cows go?
The lights then did indeed go to Sky Harbor, where they were observed by air traffic controllers and pilots alike, though the source of the lights was not visible on radar. So in less than an hour, these lights went from Henderson in Nevada all the way to Sky Harbor Airport in Arizona. Again, that's almost 300 miles. Not bad time for an object moving slowly that even stopped to hover over people.
Now, one thing you probably noticed by now is that these witnesses have some similarities in their accounts, but they're all just a little bit different. And what would be really nice is if somebody had a damn photo or a video of these lights to help establish more precisely just what the heck happened in the sky. Well, about that. The only known video of this group of lights was shot by a guy named Terry Proctor. Can you imagine if Terry was a doctor? Dr. Terry Proctor? Dr. Proctor. Dr. Proctor.
Yeah, I got to go to my proctorologist.
Yeah, if he was a proctorologist.
Sorry, proctologist. Dr. Yeah. Proctor.
Dr. Proctor, my proctologist. Anyway, Terry Proctor, he shot a video, but honestly, I mean, it's 1997. This video was pretty poor quality. But what it does show is some lights in a V shape, which is similar to the witness reports. Now, unfortunately, the video itself is not terribly conclusive. Local television station KSAZ reported that a guy named Richard Curtis recorded a video of the lights that supposedly showed the outline of some type of craft. And apparently, of course, the video was lost.
Well, Art, if it's spicy videos you're after, buckle up, because there's plenty ahead.
Oh, no. Andy, you're not going to play one of your self-produced cooking TV shows, are you? Because I can't sit through it, and I don't think the Bunk Funkers honestly want to sit through another episode of Restaurants, Restaurants, and Restaurants. It's not even a clever ripoff, and you don't have the charm or the looks to make it work, Andy.
I'm Man Boat, and I'm lubing up my Tercel and driving away. Headed for Deliciousville, looking for America's greatest restaurants, restaurants, and restaurants. Now get in the car with me. Come on, Art. That's pretty good, right?
No, it's fucking terrible. And the way you menacingly stare right into the camera and command them to get into the car with you. I mean, Andy, it's not inviting at all.
You don't want people to feel like they have a choice to not get in the Tercel. It's about finding America's greatest restaurants, restaurants, and restaurants. We don't have time to sit around.
Doesn't need to be repeated.
We're going to find restaurants, restaurants, and restaurants. I'm Man Boat.
Yeah, you look terrible in those Hawaiian shirts.
Well.
And your flat, unspiky hair is just gross. It's gelled down.
Yeah. I frosted the tips, though.
Awful.
Well. Whatever. Make your own choices, I guess. Just know that you're going to regret not getting in my Tercel when I told you to.
Jesus Christ.
Anywho, The real spicy video evidence I was talking about actually is the video evidence of the second event on March 13th, 1997 in the Phoenix skies. After the initial set of V-shaped lights disappeared from the sky shortly before 9 p.m., there was a brief break in the activity. Then, around 10 p.m., more lights were sighted. But this time, buzz from the first set of lights had even more people outside and looking at the sky. So these lights were very well documented with videos and photos. Maybe the most famous video of these lights shows several lights appearing in the sky one at a time, being visible for a bit, then going out. Other videos show similar behavior, though the number of lights may be different or the formation varies.
Now, another less famous video was shot by Stephen Blonder at his home. Now, the Blonder sighting is interesting for a couple of reasons. For one, there was a MUFON investigator at the Blonder residence that night who witnessed the lights along with the family. I mean, that's some good timing. And the reason the investigator was there is because the Blonder family has been seeing lights in the sky all damn week. Now, in addition to the main event on March 13th, the family also saw lights on the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th, even capturing the video of the lights that appeared on the 10th.
And the Blonders weren't the only ones who had previous encounters with weird lights. Dr. Lynn Kate also was witness to the strange lights on March 13th, but had previously seen strange lights as early as February 1995. Dr. Kate reported seeing orbs of light maybe 3 to 6 feet in diameter, all of a uniform amber color. Dr. Kate also saw lights in January 1997. As for what she witnessed on the 13th of March, Dr. Kate said this, quote, It was a mile wide formation of these orbs, and I caught them head on turning into a V, end quote.
Now, as with the first set of lights, many witnesses described the second set of lights as part of some kind of craft. And one of these witnesses, Dana Valentine, was a laser printer technician at the time. In 1997, hey, that's a pretty good gig.
It's a high-demand job in 97. Today, not as much.
You know, we don't know. Now, here's what Dana said. We could see the outline of a mass behind the lights, but you couldn't actually see the mass. It was more like a gray distortion on the night sky, wavy. I don't know exactly what it was. But I know it's not a technology the public has heard of before.
Another witness, Tim Lay, had this to say, quote, it was astonishing and a little frightening. It was so big and so strange. You couldn't actually see the object. All you could see was the outline as though something was blotting out the stars. The lights looked like gas. There was a distortion on the surface. Also, the light didn't spill out or shine. I've never seen a light like that. End quote.
Now, these lights were witnessed by a Phoenix truck driver named Bill Grenier. Now, that night, Bill was on his route, which took him close to Luke Air Force Base. Now, according to Bill, he saw two orb-shaped lights, with one hovering over the base. After Bill saw the lights, three F-16 jets took off from Luke Air Force Base. The lights followed the F-16s, but then gave up the chase and shot off into the sky. Now, Bunkfunkers, here's what Bill had to say about his experience, which honestly is probably one of the best quotes about a UFO experience ever, and we were lucky enough to get it on tape. Weren't we, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, this is a real boon for us. Get this on tape.
I'll never be the same. Before this, if anybody had told me they saw a UFO, I would have said, hey, yeah, and I believe in the Tooth Fairy. Now I've got a whole new view. And I may be just a dumb truck driver, but I've seen something that don't belong here. And I wish the government would just admit it.
Oh, right on, Bill. I believe in the Tooth Fairy.
Ooh-wee. This sure is a lot of activity for one night, huh?
Oh,
ooh-wee.
Boy.
Ooh-wee.
Ooh-wee, goo-goo-ga. My catchphrase. Coming back.
Ooh-wee, goo-goo-ga. I love whatever it was that you loved. Well.
Pyramids?
Probably.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, even though the events themselves were over, the events surrounding the events were just getting started. The next day, March 14th, 1997, New Fork received a call from an unidentified airman at Luke Air Force Base. According to this airman, The base fielded a call from the Prescott Valley Airport, quote, reporting an object that had a near miss with a small Cessna. Approximately 8:32 p.m. that they encountered something over Phoenix, Arizona, end quote. 8:32 p.m. was within the window of time during which the first satellites were visible on the 13th. Further, this airman told New Fork that Luke sent two F-15 planes to investigate the encounter. On their return to base, one of the pilots was reportedly scared shitless by what he saw in the air, claiming he saw five lights in a triangular pattern and that the craft followed the F-15s. The caller claimed that Luke went into lockdown after the pilots returned. Despite this report, the Air Force denied this ever happened. 2 days after making his initial report, the airman called New Fork again to report he was being transferred to Greenland. The airman has never been heard from since. Ooh.
Jeez. Well, then on May 6th, 1997, Phoenix City Council member Francis Barwood asked the city manager during a council meeting if, you know, there would be an investigation into what just occurred in the city's airspace. Seems like a pretty reasonable request.
Yeah.
Now, after the meeting, Barwood claims a city employee approached her and said, "You shouldn't have asked that question." And maybe this employee was right. I mean, in the wake of the council meeting, the Arizona Republic, which is a newspaper, ran a cartoon of Frances with a light switch on her head or on her forehead.
Yeah,
I guess that's to signify that the lights are on, but nobody's home. And then this cartoon also had a button on her shirt that said, "I love UFOs." They got her.
Yeah.
As if that insult of that absolutely vicious, scathing cartoon takedown.
Such a sick fucking burn.
I mean, eat your fucking heart out, Charlie Hebo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vicious cartoon wasn't enough. Frances also had to endure mockery from the city government. According to Frances, the mayor's office put signs on my picture in the hallway. And I found out afterwards, they handed out business cards with my name on it that said, "Speak into the tinfoil, I will hear you." Jeez.
Yeah.
Despite being ridiculed by the media and other government officials, Frances soon became flooded with phone calls from local residents who wanted to share their story of the events. She became one of the few people in government to advocate for the concerned populace.
In the wake of the March 1997 events, there was relatively little in the way of media coverage. Then, on June 18, 1997, USA Today ran a story on the events, which brought the whole situation into the national consciousness. In response to the attention, the then governor of Arizona, Fife Symington, held a press conference to announce who was responsible for the events in March 1997. He then brought out the responsible party, which was his chief of staff, Jay Hyler, in a frickin' alien mask. At best, I would say this was a pretty tone-deaf response to the concerned constituents of Fife Symington. At worst, it was outright ridicule of those who felt they had truly seen something not of this earth. Of the press conference, Francis Barwood said it was, quote, "not at all like Fife. He doesn't have a sense of humor," end quote. Maybe I am like Fife.
Well, Andy, you're more like a Fife in that you're tube-shaped and irritating.
Okay, yeah.
It checks out?
Yeah, it checks out.
All right, Andy agrees. But hey, that weird press conference wasn't the end of the story. These pesky dadgum lights reappeared in 2007 and in 2008. So on February 6th, 2007, a repeat performance of the lights seen over Phoenix in 1997 was captured on camera this time by a local Fox affiliate. With a new event on the and approaching the 10-year anniversary of the 1997 event, there was some renewed media interest in the Phoenix Lights incident. So by the time 2007 rolled around, Fife Symington was also no longer governor of Arizona. In fact, he was working as a pastry chef.
Yeah.
Fife's time as governor came to an end in late 1997 following his conviction of bank fraud charges related to his bankrupt real estate company. Well, it's bad times for Fife.
Yeah.
Later, his conviction was overturned and he was pardoned by President Bill Clinton.
Hey.
Before prosecutors decided...
Hi, I'm in the episode.
Prosecutors decided to retry the case. At any rate, Fife used the 2007 media coverage to come clean about the 1997 incident. So he said his office inquired about the events, but never got an answer. Symington also said the matter was personal because, well, he had seen the lights himself. I mean, he had seen the craft himself in 1997. According to Fife, he saw a huge delta-shaped craft. Now, presumably he means the uppercase Greek letter delta, which is a triangle, commonly used to symbolize change.
Yeah.
Change in a variable.
Yeah.
Delta.
Wow. Yeah.
Rather than the lowercase delta, which is a cool little circle with a squiggly line.
Looks like a cool little hip kid with a neat haircut.
Yeah. This is a triangle. He saw a triangular-shaped craft. And here's what Fife, in his own words, about what he saw. These are his words. I'm a pilot, and I know just about every machine that flies. It was bigger than anything I had ever seen, and remains a great mystery. Other people saw it. Responsible people. I don't know why people would ridicule it. End quote. Now, Fife said he didn't go public with his account in 1997 because he didn't want to cause any additional panic. He also said the whole, like, dressing up his chief of staff in the alien costume gag stunt was trying to, quote, lighten the mood of the state, end quote, and that he never really meant to ridicule anyone. Well, good job on that one, Fife.
Yikes. On April 21st, 2008, Phoenix residents again reported seeing lights in the sky. This time, witnesses described lights that changed from a square to a triangular formation over time. One witness reported that not long after the lights appeared, they also witnessed three jet planes heading in the direction of the lights. Predictably, Luke Air Force Base denied any USAF, United States Air Force, activity in the area that night. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, also got in on the act, admitting that air traffic controllers at Sky Harbor Airport saw the lights, but could not find the objects on radar. The FAA also said they did not know the cause of the sightings, but that the agency would not investigate. For those of us in the U.S., our tax dollars, hard at work. Thank you.
Now, there's no shortage of explanations for these events. Now, according to a Phoenix New Times article by reporter Janet Gonzalez, video of the 1997 V-shaped lights over Prescott and Prescott Valley shows the lights moving individually, not as part of one larger object. This could potentially be explained by a type of visual illusion known as illusory, I can't read, contours. Essentially, an illusory... Illusory. You want to say illusion, but it's not. It's illusory.
I want to say illusory.
Yeah. Illusory. An illusory contour is when the brain perceives unconnected dots or lines as part of one shape or object encompassing all the individual parts observed.
Amateur astronomer Mitch Stanley was watching the skies on the night of March 13th using a Dobsonian telescope with 43 times magnification. According to Mitch, these lights were nothing more than airplanes flying in formation. Each light was an individual plane. While this is interesting, and one has to assume that Mitch was able to make out the aircrafts with his telescope, Mitch's description of the lights doesn't exactly square with some other witnesses that night who didn't view the event through a telescope. There were also no known aircraft formations in flight in the area at the time. So maybe this isn't as solid an explanation as it seems.
Well, hold on there, Flyboy Andy. Prescott, Arizona is home to the Wild Wild West campus of Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. Or ERAU.
ERAU.
ERAU Prescott has programs in aviation-centric studies and has a fleet of light aircraft used for flight training. The hot gossip around campus is that the V-shaped lights seen earlier in the night were ERAU planes piloted by hogged-out students. I mean, pilots are chads.
Yeah.
Who turned off the transponders and flew around in the formation as a sick prank.
Oh, man. You freaking got them, dude. I mean, I'm sure these are such hunky pilots. But maybe it wasn't aeronautics students causing all this trouble. Maybe it was the good old United States Air Force after all. Retired Air Force pilot James Magaha investigated two of the witness accounts and believed the incident was all caused by A-10 Warthogs flying in formation at high altitude.
But hey, maybe these weren't planes at all, Andy. You ever think about that? Maybe yeah. They were lanterns attached to balloons or something similar. On its surface, this sounds like a pretty lame explanation, right? Yeah. Kind of like us.
Yeah.
Well, some people have legitimately suggested this is an explanation, and it's actually not as far out of left field as you might think. On March 13th, 1997, several weather stations in the vicinity of Phoenix all recorded measurements of the wind direction, which was consistent with the reported movement of the lights. During the event, wind direction was changing from blowing toward the east to blowing toward the south. So pretty much blowing the same directions the objects were traveling.
It seems silly, but balloons are also blamed for the 2008 lights event. Phoenix resident Lino Milo said he saw his neighbor release a few helium balloons with flares attached on the night of the event. According to Lino, the balloons were released around 8 p.m., which is right before witnesses reported seeing the lights. Additionally, the lights were observed by a Phoenix Police Department helicopter pilot who identified the objects as flares attached to balloons. Up, up, and away, yay, in my beautiful flared out balloon. Hey, speaking of flares, maybe all of this was just the result of some flares in the airs. In fact, the U.S. Air Force basically took credit for the later set of lights on March 13th, 1997. According to the USAF, the lights witnessed around 10 p.m. that night were LUU-2BB illumination flares, which were dropped by four A-10 Warthogs during a training exercise, Operation Snowbird, at the Barry M. Goldwater bombing range, which is to the southwest of Phoenix, more than 50 miles away from downtown.
Now, while that seems like a pretty long way for people to see flares in the sky, apparently flares like these are visible for up to potentially hundreds of miles in the right conditions. Analysis of the luminosity of the LUU-2B/B flares, allegedly by the USAF to be the culprit, you know, in this case, determined the luminosity of the flares at a range of 50 to 70 miles. That is about the distance Phoenix residents would have observed them the night of the event. And that was within range of the luminosity of the object witnessed that night. Local TV stations also reported on known military flare drops and showed similarities between those events and the later event on March 13th, 1997.
So the flares used burn bright enough to be seen in Phoenix. Great. This still doesn't explain the observed behavior of the lights. Well, Big Daddy Air Force has a story for that, too. Let's sit on his knees, shall we? Before he pats us on the head and tucks us into bed. Big Daddy Air Force.
Thank you, Big Daddy Air Force.
Thank you for the slice of pumpkin pie, Big Daddy Air Force.
Thanks, Big Daddy.
The Air Force said the flares appeared to hover because of heat rising from the burning flares, which had a balloon effect on the parachutes attached to the flares, making the flares fall slower than typical. The lights then disappeared because they went behind the Sierra Estrella Mountains, which are to the southwest of Phoenix, but between Phoenix and the Goldwater Range.
Now, the flare explanation even has some support in the form of testimony from an alleged participant. Lieutenant Colonel Ed Jones of the Maryland Air National Guard said in 2007 that he flew one of the planes that dropped the flares on March 13th, 1997. According to the Maryland Air National Guard, Lieutenant Colonel Jones's squadron, the 104th Fighter Squadron, was at the time doing training at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base near Tucson and just happened to be flying some training sorties. Sorties?
Sorties.
Oh, training sorties at Goldwater Range that night. Now, interestingly enough, Davis-Monthan initially said that they did not have planes in the air the night of the 13th. It also seems weird that a squadron from Maryland would be responsible for strange lights seen in Phoenix, but Goldwater Range is a hotbed of air training activity. Nearby to the range are Luke Air Force Base outside of Phoenix, you got Davis-Monthan Air Force Base outside of Tucson, you got a Marine Corps Air Station, Yuma, near Yuma. Yuma?
Yuma? Is that Yuma?
Oprah Yuma. It doesn't work. Oprah Uma. Now, all of these bases train there, as do any units assigned to those bases for training purposes, which could be from lots of different places. I mean, even in 1997, the Arizona Republic newspaper reported that the Maryland Air National Guard was responsible for the lights.
This story then kind of repeated itself in 2007. The Marine Corps Air Station Yuma took responsibility for the lights seen in February that year. Again, the base that the lights witnessed were flares from training flights at the Goldwater Range. A tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, the United States Air Force or the Marine Air Corps and the flares. My favorite Disney movie.
Yeah, great one.
Another tale as old as time is doubt about pretty much anything the government says. Plenty of people ain't buying the flare explanation, all right? Some witnesses have said that while flares appear physically similar to the lights they saw in March 1997, the behavior of flares is completely different. Although some local TV stations reported on similarities between the footage from the Phoenix Lights incidents and with known military flare drops.
Now, our guy Fife Symington also said in 2007 that he was unhappy with the Air Force's explanation for the 1997 events. And here's what Fife had to say. As a pilot and a former Air Force officer, I can definitively say that this craft did not resemble any man-made object I had ever seen. And it was certainly not high-altitude flares because flares don't fly in formation. End quote. He also called for investigations to be opened, documents to be released, and for those in power to stop shunning witnesses. Well, I guess that's not bad for shunning witnesses initially. Classic Fife.
Classic Fife. Just do your little...
Fife is full of strife.
Just do your little turn on the catwalk there, Fife. You know, Fife, there have actually been some studies done to test the government's claim about the event. I'm talking to Fife directly.
Yeah, we're talking to Fife directly now.
For example, a software company specializing in image processing and analysis software, Cognitech, shot some video during the daytime from the same location as a video taken of the later Phoenix lights. They made a composite of the two pieces of footage and showed that the lights in the original video disappeared when they got to the Estrella Mountains. The mountains are visible in the daytime, but can't be seen in the nighttime footage. Local Fox affiliate, our favorite local Fox affiliate, KSAZ-TV, called bullshit on Cognitech. KSAZ claimed they did their own test, and the lights were in front of the mountains. KSAZ suggested Cognitech data was altered. But then, the Phoenix New Times newspaper called bullshit on KSAZ! They said that KSAS just overlaid the two pieces of footage using a video editing machine without matching the scale and zoom in the two videos. To help settle the score, Dr. Paul Scowen, an astronomy professor at Arizona State University, did basically the same thing. Took a daytime video from the same location as the nighttime video of the event. Dr. Scowen's results were similar to the findings of Cognitech. Take that, KSAS!
Wow. Drama. Other people who are distrustful of the Air Force's explanation are those who believe the lights they saw were of an extraterrestrial origin. Now, these folks see the lights more as the leading edge of a huge ship, maybe as much as a mile in diameter, that hovered over Phoenix. One of the people in the UFO camp is a guy named Jim Dilatoso. Dilatoso.
Dilatoso.
Dilatoso. Jim said he performed a spectral analysis of the photos and videos in the lights. Again, these are the later lights seen over Phoenix in 1997, not the first group of lights.
Right.
Now, according to Jim Dilatoso, not Jim Belushi.
Oh.
His analysis proved the lights could not have been from a man-made source. Jim said the results showed, quote, a perfectly uniform light with no variation from one edge to the other and no glow. They have ruled out lasers, flares, holograms, and aircraft lights as sources, end quote. Jim said his method was using a program called Image Pro Plus to examine the red, green, and blue in the light images and to make histograms of the data. This was then compared to data from the photos, which were known to be flares.
Now, I mean, frankly, this is pretty cool. Proof of a non-man-made light source? Yeah, well, about that. Media Cybernetic, the company that makes ImagePro Plus, said that ImagePro Plus isn't capable of doing spectroscopic analysis. Also, other people, including noted skeptic and convicted felon Brian Dunning of Skeptoid, say you can't do a spectral analysis with just a picture of lights. Dunning puts it this way, quote, "You can't even remotely do a spectral analysis of lights in a photograph and expect there to be any useful similarity to the spectrum of the actual light source, any more than you can expect a photograph of an orange to smell like an orange," end quote. Photos only capture the visible spectrum of light. In order to perform a complete spectral analysis, you need to be able to consider the full spectrum of light, including things like infrared light.
Also, if it's a scratch and sniff, it will smell like an orange.
Got him. Checkmate, Brian Dunning.
Checkmate. Now, we've thrown out a lot of possible explanations here, but let's add one more to our little explanation pile, just to be safe.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, some people believe that the witnesses to the Phoenix Lights events were actually witnesses to a top-secret military test of an aircraft under development. Specifically, a rigid-hulled, helium-filled aircraft with a wingspan of about the size of an American football field, or 100 yards. This explanation has been suggested by author and researcher Bill Scott, who has written about the covert government programs to build and test cutting-edge aircraft. Now, while some of the characteristics described by witnesses are shared with a dirigible aircraft. Dirigible?
Yeah. Dirigible.
Some of the things witnesses described don't match to any of the crafts that Scott has reviewed. Now, that said, Scott does not see it as far-fetched to believe that a huge helium-filled craft was responsible for at least, some of these lights witnessed in 1997.
And so the mystery lives on. Just what the heck is going on in the skies above Phoenix? Maybe Arizona is a hotbed of covert military activity. Maybe Arizona is a hotbed of extraterrestrial activity. Or maybe Arizona's skies are polluted with flares. And nobody can see anything because there's so many damn flares in the sky constantly. Maybe this could all be cleared up with just a little transparency from the U.S. government. Fife Symington sure thinks so now, calling on the government to stop perpetuating, quote, "the myth that all UFOs can be explained away in down-to-earth conventional terms," end quote. Symington further said, quote, "what I saw in the Arizona sky goes beyond conventional explanations. When it comes to events of this nature that are still completely unsolved, we deserve more openness in government, especially our own," end quote. Now, whatever the case may be, we're hot on the trail, so saddle up your ass and let's get riding to the grandest canyon of them all, the Valley of the Whole Enchilada.
Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast will be right back after this brief message.
Ooh, it sure is chilly outside, Art.
Andy, where's your jacket?
Art, did you hear me? The wind chill is 30 below.
Andy, I think you have hypothermia.
You know, Art, with the horrific chilly weather outside, the only thing that'll warm me up is listening to Andy and Art Debunked, available only on patreon.com/MrBunkerPod.
Are you seriously shilling our Patreon right now?
Oh, Art. Laughing at the antics of Andy and Art is all the warmth I need. And for just $5 a month, I get access to all the episodes of the show, behind-the-scenes updates, sneak peeks at episodes, and I can chat with Andy and Art on the Bunker Discord.
Andy, we need to get you to a hospital.
We need to get me to patreon.com/MrBunkerPod. So chilly. Oh, God. I'm chilled to the bone.
Hey, welcome back, Punk Funkers. That was our research of the Phoenix Lights. When I see those Phoenix lights,
Counting the stars in the sky. Oh, those Phoenix lights. Oh, they might have been flares on alien spacecraft.
It's my country song. I'm not getting on the CMT.
Wow. Arts Bentley.
I'm going to win a Grammy.
Arts Mercedes.
Oh, those Phoenix lights. Up in the sky. Oh, I want to drink a beer. With those Phoenix lights. I want to drive my truck right into that spaceship's hull and have those little gray men poke my scrotum and drill holes in my teeth with the laser beams. Oh, those Phoenix lights up in the sky. I love America. And aliens doing weird stuff to my butt. Those Phoenix lights.
Look for that album. It's coming
download
out.
Download that on Spotify.
It's on Spotify.com.
Now. Go in there now and search for it. The Phoenix lights.
Andy, let's get some blanket statements. We haven't done blanket statements in such a long time. Yeah. I got some hard, hot feelings about this one, huh?
Yeah, go. Tell me.
Something was up there.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
We can say that definitively.
Yeah. This is...
The first sighting especially, something was up there.
This is an interesting one.
700 people.
Yeah. And not ever convincingly explained definitively.
Very much brushed under the rug.
Yeah. You know, there's obviously... There's a lot of pieces to this one.
Big time pieces.
Big time pieces. You know, you get this first thing happening, and then you had the second thing happening. You got Bill Greiner saying, like, a weird thing happening. You got other people reporting.
I might just be a stupid fucking truck driver. But goddamn, I saw something up there.
I saw something fucked up.
I saw something fucked up that changed my worldview. I don't know what the fuck I saw.
Goddamn government, give us the secrets. Tell us what you know. Oh, I love Bill Greiner.
I love him too. That is a great quote. Probably the greatest UFO quote. I might just be a simple truck driver.
Yeah, I believe in the Tooth there. Fairy.
Oh, yeah, I believe in the Tooth Fairy. Breaker, breaker, 1-9. This is Tooth Fairy.
Squawk, squawk. Tooth Fairy.
I wonder if any truckers listen. If anyone out there is a trucker who listens to us, I know truckers listen to a lot of podcasts because, I mean, you're just driving all damn day. You're a trucker out there. You listen to us. Hit us up. We want to know
everything.
Everything, man. Trucker culture.
Yeah.
Well, I watched a few trucker videos. What it's like to be a trucker.
You know, truckers have seen some shit, too.
Truckers see a lot of stuff out there on the road.
And I'm not just talking about glory holes in weird places.
Yeah, we're talking about lot lizards.
Yeah.
We were lot lizards for a time, Andy.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a weird time in our lives.
Yeah, yeah. We, you know.
We serviced a couple of men while we also serviced the trucks. It was like a tit for tat kind of thing.
Yeah, literally. Tit for tat. They would, you know, we would lube the truck and lube their
chassis, shafts.
Chassis.
We would, yeah, we would hitch ourselves to their big honking wagon.
Yeah.
I mean, no shame.
We polished a few chrome pit parts.
Chrome domes. And we had a lot of sex.
Yeah, we fucked a lot of truckers.
But blanket statements, like, I mean, something had to have been up there.
Yeah, I think that's as good a blanket statement as any, because it's true. Something happened. There's not, I mean, there was something there, and there's no, like I said, there's no, the explanations so far have not been totally convincing.
As far as I understand this story, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Andy, but there really has never really given a good explanation for the first sighting. I mean, I think they maybe said, like, it was planes flying in formation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Then they, like, the rest of the sightings, they're like, oh, flares, oh, this, oh, that. But I'm laser focused on this first sighting.
Yeah,
that's where I'm seeing the money.
That's the real one. Like, I'll show my hand a little bit here.
Sure,
like,
kill him on the first act.
That second one, like, I think it was flares.
I think it was flares.
It was flares. But that first one, I don't know. You know, because it doesn't make sense that they would have been over Henderson, Nevada, to start with. And the rate of travel and everything, like, it doesn't make sense for a flare to be borne aloft like that. It doesn't really make sense, I guess, probably even for like a balloon or something to be like moving at that speed. Because again, it's like less than an hour.
Yeah.
It goes from Henderson, Nevada, southeast all the way to Sky Harbor and then on to Tucson.
Which makes you think, and then all of a sudden there's a second sighting, which makes me think that that second sighting was their response to the first sighting. Like, it's like the first sighting, something is up there. We don't know what it is. UFO of whatever origin, military or otherwise. And then that happens, and the military's like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Let's go scout it out. Then they go up there. Or maybe it just kind of happened coincidentally. I don't know.
So these LUU-2 flares,
yeah,
like what they're supposed to do is illuminate the ground. So they shine really bright, but they're like the idea is to illuminate the ground. So you might be onto something there, Art. Maybe something crashed.
Looking for something.
Although if it was at the range is the opposite direction from where the first set of lights moved. Because the range, the Barry Goldwater range, which... if you believe the flares went behind the Estrella Mountains from the vantage point of the people, it pretty much has to be in that area, which is southwest part of Arizona.
Okay.
So it's got to be southwest of Phoenix at that point to get obscured by the mountains from that vantage point.
But the first thing was southeast.
Yeah, the lights were going like the opposite direction out of Phoenix.
Now, this is a big old flying V. What do you think? Was it... like Joe Satriani fucking up there shredding on a big old guitar.
this was fucking Dave Mustaine.
Don't get Dave Mustaine shredding.
No, it could definitely not be Dave John Mustaine Petrucci. Because it was silent.
That's right. These guys can't be silent. They got to fucking shred. I don't know, man. This is a wild one. You know, this really, I don't know. I think you're going to get some interesting verdicts, bunkfuckers.
Yeah,
that's all
I think
I'll
so
say.
Too.
Jeremy?
Good topic.
Let's talk about Fife.
Listen, let's just get into
it. I'm not defending what he did.
But
I'm empathetic because I feel like I would be in that situation as well. I am very scared of being in a situation like that where, you know, you don't know. Okay, maybe it's a little tone deaf. Same time, it's like, you know, we're jokesters.
Yeah.
We've probably both been in situations where we made a joke at a time when we shouldn't have.
Okay, I can be empathetic.
I'm empathetic. Of this prank. Maybe, you know, somebody said that this guy doesn't have a sense of humor, so maybe somebody in his staff was like, Fife, you should have him dress up in an alien costume. You know, you got re-elections or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
People love it. And he was like, oh, I don't know. I guess I'll go do it. I guess I'll have my guy dress up in an alien. And he brings him out there, and it's like, okay. Kind of a big stunt.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's a little prank. Come on, Andy.
But it's a little prank.
The
explanation's pretty weak. He's like saying, oh, people were really worked up about this and concerned. I mean, honestly.
People are concerned.
Honestly, though, if you'd like step back and take away the extraterrestrial like part of it, they had an unidentified object in their airspace.
It could be
a hostile military for all anybody knows.
Okay, yes, people were a little freaked out. I get it. You know, I think, you know, if he had done that when some people got, nobody got hurt, nothing bad happened.
Yeah.
People were just a little shaken. I'm empathetic.
But I'm also empathetic to the people who are like, well, that makes me feel like a dumbass, an asshole.
Very true.
For like thinking that I saw something weird and then the governor comes on here and is like, you fucking dummy. It was aliens. You fucking serious with this bullshit? But then he doesn't give any kind of answer and then he fucking almost goes to jail.
Well, now he's a pacer chef.
Yeah.
Which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, the Arizona Culinary Institute, co-founded by Fife Symington.
Who would have known? He had a lot of hobbies.
Yeah.
Including bank fraud.
Yeah. And now bake fraud. He's a pastry chef.
Said bank fraud?
You said bank fraud. I said bake fraud.
God. Good Lord.
So the weird thing about that is...
I'm giving him a slight pass. I don't get as worked up over stuff, but I can see where it's very insensitive. It's not the most insensitive thing.
He kind of got off on a technicality.
What do you mean?
It's like there was some procedural problem in the proceedings for the first trial, and that's why his like...
I don't care about that.
His verdict got overturned, and then he got pardoned.
I don't care about his bank fraud. I'm talking about the alien thing, Andy.
Well, you know me. Yeah,
Andy's like, going to be like, well, listen, his Danishes are...
I'm gonna dog his character. Well, you know, then he became famous for this dessert he made at this restaurant called The Governor.
He's actually very good?
Yeah.
Is what you're saying?
Yeah. Allegedly. I mean, I've never eaten.
Fife's a weird guy.
Yeah. Interesting character.
Then the alien thing.
Yeah. I don't like it. I'll agree with you. I can be empathetic. I'm more empathizing with the people who...
Younger Andy would agree with me.
Yeah. Younger me would have been like, fuck these.
Yeah. Younger Andy would have been like, that's fucking hilarious.
Look how I've been turned by this podcast.
I know. Not even that. I mean, I'm talking Andy from like 5-6 years ago, fucking punk rock Andy. People don't remember this. Andy had Liberty spikes and he wore leather, tight leather, assless chaps every
assless
day.
Assless chaps. Never wore underwear.
Never.
For 3 years.
No, younger Andy, bunkfuckers, you don't know this because, you know, you don't know Andy, but I know Andy, so I know this, is that younger Andy used to have this moniker called Dark Mark. And that was because he had a penchant for being incredibly dark with his humor. He would come out and say some of the darkest stuff imaginable to a human. Just disgusting stuff. And he was so unsympathetic to everybody around him. Andy would beat you down. While you were staring up at him, bleeding, saying, please have mercy on my soul. He'd curb stomp your head. Just like fucking, like in Gears of War. He'd curb stomp the aliens. That's what you did emotionally. So younger Andy would have been like, that's fucking hilarious. Fuck these people for not having a sense of humor. Fuck you. I'm going to get back on my route. I'm a truck driver. I might just be a simple truck driver.
Fuck you. I got a truck full of clams that got to get delivered. Fuck you.
Younger Andy would have thought that was hilarious. I know it. Now, Andy, you know, you've got a family and you're very, you know, you love everyone. You're at peace.
I just want to say that I'm capable of growth.
That's true.
Being learning.
Well, yeah, and you have that weird growth on your shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a second face.
Yeah, I hope they cut that out soon. Yeah. I need Dave Coulier to cut it out. So I guess I'm just more empathetic with the people who really felt like they had a situation and then they get made fun of by the governor. It's like...
People are going to make fun of you.
You know, it's like, I'm not an extraterrestrial believer necessarily.
No, I don't like fucking mocking people either. I'm not going to do that. We don't do that on this show.
Yeah.
We don't mock
some
people.
We mock.
I mean, we mock a lot of people. We mock ourselves a lot too. Bunkfuckers, give us some credit. We mock ourselves a lot.
And we probably could stand to do it more because we deserve it.
Yeah, it's true. We do. But like, we don't, we never have shit all over anybody for doing stuff like that.
I mean, I probably do more than you.
Maybe a little bit.
You know, I get wound up about some things.
You get wound up about some things. You get wound up about bad parenting.
I do.
What's wrong with you? Who gives a fuck about parenting?
Who am I? Sometimes I don't even recognize myself.
And God knows we talk about Wendy's too much. We should really stop. God, we talk about Wendy's so much on our frat house chatter. Just a couple of frat boys chit-chatting about Wendy's.
Well, I did name my son Dave Jr.
All right, anyway. Phoenix Lights.
And then I named my other son Breakfast Baconator.
Some other runnings were Spicy Chicken Nuggets. Six piece. Was his middle name.
Spicy Chicken Nuggets, six piece. He had two middle names, six piece and with sweet and sour sauce.
And who can forget your pet dog, Frosty?
Yeah, Frosty, the dog, was a dog.
I know. We're like broken records, bunk funkers, with our Wendy's talk.
Constantly talking about Wendy's.
Fuck us.
I called my wife my little baked potato.
And you actually legally, on your driver's license, changed your name to Cup of Chili.
Yeah.
Homestyle Chili.
Yeah. Yeah. And I make people call me, for short, two C's and a W.
Inside joke between Andy and I. A lot of your other friends that I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's talk about these Phoenix lights.
Oh, yeah. These lights. Man, these lights were crazy, huh? I mean, you know, like, I believe the balloon thing for 2008. I believe the flare thing for 2007. Nobody really seems to be too, like, disputed about either of those things. I believe the flares for the second thing, although on the March 13th, 1997, although not everybody buys into that flare theory. Like, people think the flares just don't behave the same way. But, you know, I think it's a lot of variables with a flare, right? There's lots of, like, the atmosphere that comes into play. I think that it's a great point to bring up that there's mountains around there that might block your view or change how you perceive things. And you had no idea they're there. You can't see them in the dark. They're not illuminated.
Mm-hmm.
But that first set of lights, I don't know.
This is very Tehran UFO.
Yeah, very much, yeah.
Probably our favorite UFO story of all time.
This one's not quite as cool as Tehran UFO, just in the terms of the craft itself.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest. That first set of lights, feel like there was a craft.
It's very craft-like. I mean, I know that a big triangular craft is a common, I think, UFO sighting. Like, I even think that that happens in X-Files Season 1. Episode 3 or 4, I don't know, 5 or 6. The Mulder fucking like Rambo style, like, sneaks onto a military base. It's a little campy, but it's very, very, I'm not shitting on X-Files. I love it. It's very cozy. I enjoy watching it a lot. Especially it's fun because now that we, you know, with the podcast, we've like, I know so much of this shit. I'm like watching it. I'm like, I know what that's based on.
Hey, yeah, I should rewatch X-Files.
You should. You should watch it with me.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to come over.
What was I going to say? And he like sneaks onto a military operation where they are excavating like a downed alien spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this because it made me think of what we think, because it's like the alien. They show a lot of aliens throughout the show, but in this one, the alien is like this weird, invisible little force. And I was like, that's fucking great. That's what we love.
Yeah.
Weird, invisible little forces. And then like Mulder later like sneaks onto a military base and he sees like a big spacecraft. That might be a different episode. Actually, that is a different episode. That's the episode where there's military pilots who lose their memory. I don't know. Sorry, Bunk. I'm not good at remembering stuff.
Maybe Mulder should investigate you.
He probably should. David Duchovny. They always like make him, they keep like making him like do exercise where he's like shirtless. There's this one scene in the second season where he gets out of a pool and he has a boner, like a huge boner. And he's wearing this tightest, smallest little red swim trunks. And I was like, all right, what the fuck? What is going on here in 1993 or 4?
He's like Daniel Craig.
I know.
Didn't he have some like personal controversy?
Duchovny?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a sex addict.
Oh, that's it.
But very against the Church of Scientology, I believe, early on.
Oh, yeah, he was married to Tay Leone.
Mm-hmm.
America's sweetheart.
Love Tay Leone.
Yeah. Sex addiction.
Anyway, Phoenix Lights.
Because he was on that Californication show.
Those were his like two big shows.
Wow, he's 60 years old. So
went to Princeton.
Yeah, and Yale.
And Yale. Can you imagine?
No.
Some people have it all.
I can't imagine.
Hot little bods, big old boners.
Yeah.
Sex addiction.
English literature degrees.
Get to go to Princeton and Yale and be on one of the like most recognized shows of the decade.
And he's a vegetarian.
And he's a vegetarian. God, some people have it all.
And he had COVID.
And he had COVID.
In November 2020. Early.
No, that would have been late. Really
late. Never mind.
Goober.
I don't know what year it is.
Whatever. I mean, yeah. Fuck, Andy. I mean, I'll just kind of be honest. Like, you know, I think this has craft kind of written all over it. And I don't see why it can't. It's unidentified. It's flying. It's an object. It's a UFO.
Yeah, I think it's for sure a UFO. I mean, you know, the only question is it terrestrial? Is it extraterrestrial?
I don't know.
I'm not buying balloons for that explanation.
No, no.
Or lanterns or something.
And I think it's kind of telling that they, I don't know, that they are like, don't you think that like the Air Force has kind of gone back and forth with their, like, they're pretty quick to be like, that was flares for the second one, but they didn't really put up much of a fight for the first one, right?
You mean the Air Force hasn't?
Or just, I guess, anybody in general.
Or, you know, you mean as like a real credible explanation?
Yeah, and then FAA didn't even look into it.
No, I mean, there's no...
They're just like, no, we're not going to touch it.
Yeah, there's nothing like... There's nothing definitive.
And what kind of defense is that? That's a defense where you're guilty.
Yeah.
You just say, I don't recall.
Yeah. I mean...
No comment.
You know, obviously some people have said that it's like, was it A-10s? Was it the Maryland Guard again?
Yeah.
In the air? Like maybe... Maybe Luke or Davis Monthan said they had no planes. Maybe it's a misunderstanding. You know, they didn't have any planes. Those aren't their planes. Those are the Maryland Guard's planes. I don't know.
Didn't even try to offer an explanation.
Yeah, nobody's... I've not seen like a real solid explanation.
The attack on Barwood? What's up with that? That's weird.
Yeah. Why they went after her?
She asked a pretty fucking reasonable question.
Yeah, and she says all she's wondering is like, people are worried about this. Like, are we gonna try to at least find out what it was?
What the fuck was that up
there,
guys?
She didn't come in there and be like, I think it was extraterrestrials. Like, yeah. She just said, are we gonna do an investigation? Because people want to know what happened.
Yeah.
And they were like, you fucking idiot. Why don't you get
your... You light switch having motherfucker.
You
fuck you.
Stupid, vapid... Fucking idiot. Shut up. I mean, you know.
Talk about empathy. I mean, people have attacked us like that all the time.
Yeah. Only, I mean, we've deserved it a lot more than
very big
Francis
difference.
Barwood.
We've deserved it. And we do. We have light switches on both of our foreheads.
Yeah, that's an aesthetic choice. It doesn't actually do anything.
Yeah.
You know, all it does is when you flip it on, I do have wires connected to mine and it shocks my brain a little bit. But, you know, I've suffered such extensive brain damage over the course of my life that it really is just to keep me lucid.
Yeah. Well, mine
if
is... Mine helps me sleep.
You turn it off and you go to sleep
instantly.
I turn
it off and I go power down. Shut down. System.
Shut down mode engaged.
And I turn my little brain off. I wish I could do that. Don't you wish you could do that sometime?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, but instead I just, you know, drink to excess.
Yeah. And you listen to In Excess.
In Excess. I eat Wendy's to excess. That's how I forget.
Yeah.
I get to sleep.
Wendy's helps us forget.
It helps numb the pain, Daddy. Daddy Davey helps us numb the pain with his spicy tendies.
Chicken sandwich.
Yummy.
The Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich is bar none the best spicy chicken sandwich.
Agreed.
Oh God, it's good.
I got no qualms with this hot and spicy McChicken, but it's not a Wendy's spicy chicken.
No, sir.
Art.
Yeah, what's up? Like I was like somewhere else in the bunker. What's up? I'm over here now.
Yeah, sir. I'm doing dishes at the sink. Art. I think. What do you think about a dirigible?
First of all, I take a lot of umbrage with you using big fucking words that I don't know what they mean. And you do it on purpose.
Dirigible.
I don't know what that word means. I've never seen that word in my life.
Lighter than aircraft. A rigid hull lighter than aircraft.
Oh, God. You do it on purpose.
No, that's the term for them. Dirigible. It's like a blimp or Zeppelin.
Every time we have guests on this show, they trip up when you use big words. It's not just me.
Well, I'm sorry.
I will admit that I can't read a lot of names. Even very common ones.
Well, Art, I am sorry that my intellect is far superior to yours.
What was that? Was that Futurama?
No, that's SpongeBob. Brain coral. Patrick falls off a cliff and his brain falls off and gets replaced with brain coral.
Oh, that's a new episode.
And he becomes really smart.
I don't watch anything past the movie.
Yeah, well, sorry. I saw the movie for the first time recently.
Movie's good, huh?
Yeah, it was a pretty good flick.
David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
It's a fun little one.
Speaking of guys with big boners. Goober.
You're a goofy goober, yeah.
Goofy goober!
And he fucking comes down from the ceiling and he's wearing like...
wizard outfit.
Yeah, wizard outfit with stockings.
Yeah.
Fishnet stockings.
No, Patrick's got the fishnet stockings.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason. For some unknown reason.
Yeah.
weirdly sexual Patrick, like... I mean...
Yeah. Kids cartoons often at times have weirdly sexual innuendos in them.
It did awaken some things.
Famously, in Animaniacs, fingerprints.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
No thanks. Dot looks at Prince, and they both look back and go like, no thanks. Like, pushing the limit.
I bet Prince would have done it, though.
Prince fucked a lot of people. Prince had a good life.
Yeah, he did.
Until fun fact about Prince, wrote the song Manic Monday for the Bengals.
Yeah, he did. Thanks, Art.
Wrote a lot of songs, actually. Wrote, I think, some songs for Sinead O'Connor, if I'm not mistaken, maybe. And he wrote songs for a few other groups as well. Prolific songwriter.
Very talented person.
Talented all around.
Yeah.
Did not let life drag him down. Shout out to Prince. R.I.P.
Rest in Prince.
R.I. Prince.
R.I., you know, symbol.
Yeah. The P symbol thing.
The thing. You get it.
So
what did you say you think it's dirigible? Or you just got upset that I said the word dirigible?
I did. I got upset. So what does dirigible mean exactly? It's a big light helium craft, like a Zeppelin?
Yeah, exactly. That's a dirigible.
I guess that would make sense. I think that's easier to digest than like this was a big mile-long spaceship, like Independence Day style spaceship where it's like so big it covers a whole city.
So it's like what Bill Scott is kind of saying is that this is probably like a triangular shaped craft that's like big and flat. So it's like not like, you know, ovoid like a blimp or a Zeppelin. It's like a long, flat kind of thing that's designed to be stealthy, you know, and move quietly and all this stuff. And so it has, you know, they've just got the running lights on basically as they're flying through the air.
So they can see where it's at.
Moves pretty. I mean, you know, I don't know that the behavior of it all the time makes sense. Like initially, yes, where it's just sort of moving along, but it's kind of like if it's moving so slow, how does it move between places so fast? Maybe there's some sort of technology there. Maybe it's, you know, boosting away. Like, I don't know about the hovering and stuff. I mean, you know, Brian Dunning kind of comes to the conclusion that everybody who didn't report seeing the flares is kind of just making it up or like saw something else. And like people just jumped on the bandwagon because a lot of people started. And I don't agree with him on that. Like he tries to make that case that like the only thing that happened was flares.
This was 97. You know, if you wanted to contact somebody, you had to call them.
You had to call them on the phone.
So they got all these phone records of people calling in. It's like, what, all these people know each other and contacting each other? Come on.
Yeah. I just, you know, to say that, like, all of the reports of anything other than what's consistent with the flares are just, like, made up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't.
That's rough.
I don't buy. I think that's a bit of a stretch.
And this is what happens with some of these UFO topics is we look at the skeptic answer, and if we don't buy the skeptic answer, it's kind of like, well, what's the other answer?
Yeah, to me, you know.
Skeptic answer doesn't hold in a lot of, it's not a flare with a balloon on this one for me.
Yeah, skeptics have obviously proposed a few things. The Ural pranksters, that it's A-10s. But that's it. I mean, they've proposed it, and it's all from like studying the footage. What little of it there is available.
Jets don't fly quietly.
Or the Ural thing is just a rumor.
You would have at least a couple people being like, I heard a ton of fucking... Jets are loud as shit.
Even light aircraft that they're doing training, like... The only way it makes sense is if it's at a really high altitude.
Right.
You know, and then you probably might not hear it. But then it's at the same time, it's like...
Wouldn't you see a plume of smoke?
Like, why would people then report that this thing was like 150 miles ahead of, or 150 feet above them?
Right.
Is it just an illusion? Like, is that even possible? I don't know. It doesn't seem.
Yeah. You got a lot of people. You got a lot of people saying, like, they're not saying anything wacky. They're just saying, like, it looked like some kind of weird, like it was like obscuring the sky. Like it, mm-hmm. they felt like there was an object there, but didn't they say that like it's like it was wavy, like it's a stealth thing?
Yeah. Some people have described it as like the bottom looks like it's sort of undulating, you know, like it's like there's movement in it.
What the fuck does undulate mean?
You know, like...
Sounds like a member of GWAR.
Like a wave.
Undulus, undula.
Like this. Like a wave.
Wavy.
Yeah, it looks wavy. It's a wavy gravy.
Why don't you just say it looks like a Ruffles
on
chip?
On the ventral side of the craft.
Then I would understand what you're saying to me.
You know, supposedly, ventral side of the craft.
Ventral
side. The underbelly.
Say it looks like a Ruffles chip.
Yeah, it looks like a... You know, this thing looks like it's got Ruffles chips on its tummy.
Now I get it. And if they aren't sour cream and cheddar, I'm going to have words.
Oh, my God. You know, if you get the regular Ruffles, plain Ruffles, like, no offense, I don't like to eat them by themselves.
Unless you got French dip.
Hell of a good. That's my favorite.
Who?
Hell of a good French onion dip.
That's a French onion dip?
Yeah.
Shout out to Hell of a Good French Onion Dip.
Yeah.
Sponsoring this
sponsor
podcast.
The podcast. A hell of a good podcast.
Hell of a good podcast. Said no one.
But people... And just some people say they can't tell how high it is, that it was high enough to be, you know, obscured by like thin, wispy clouds. But then, you know, you've got the people in Prescott Valley saying, hey, this was right above us, 150 feet. I mean, they could be wrong. I mean, they're not altimeters. So who knows?
I don't know, Andy. I mean, I guess I have a verdict in mind. I don't know.
Yeah, I have a verdict, too, in mind.
I don't know. Are we ready to get to verdicts?
Yeah, I guess,
I am.
I guess, I mean...
We've been chit-chatting for a little while about it.
Chitting and chatting for...
We can sit here and chit-chat all day long, but eventually we're going to have to fucking pay the piper.
Sometimes we just got to get to it and say what we think. I'm ready.
All right, you go first. I have to pull up the bunker scale.
Yeah, that's what I was doing just now. So,
Why don't I just save it?
I guess the way I'm going to make a verdict on this, I'm only going to consider the first event on March 13th, 1997, because for everything else, all the other three things, the later event, 1997, 2007, 2008, it's case closed on those for me. Those were flares and balloons, and that's the end of that. Now, for this earlier one in 1997, is it flares? Is it, I don't know what to say on this one. If I should do different, I'm just going to go for one.
Do what's in your heart.
I'm going to do just one thing. I was going to go by like thing by thing, explanation by explanation. But I do think that it was some sort of craft.
Whoa.
I think it was a craft.
Now can we get the classic Andy quote? I like this Tehran thing. I like this Phoenix thing.
We like the craft.
Hold the line. Hold the craft. Buy the dip. If he's in, I'm in.
I think, though, I don't think that it's an alien spacecraft.
Okay.
I think that it's terrestrial.
Yes.
And I think that it's some sort of top secret government dirigible. And so for that, I'm going... You know what? I'm going to go very plausible.
Whoa.
That's what it is. Very plausible.
Look out, baby.
I'm feeling, I have such
we are in the
a
green.
Duchovny boner for this helium-filled.
You want to know.
Rigid hold craft. I'm rigid hold right now.
Oh, yeah, you are. You're dirigible.
For this, yeah. Because that's what I think it was.
So
I'm
going to
go very plausible.
Bunk Funkers, this is once in a blue moon. Jeremy's feeling a little dirigible right now, I'm sure, as well. Yeah.
He's floating away.
You got a bunker alarm, a big old shout out, and you got a very positive out of Andy.
Out of me.
Plausible, I mean, whatever the fuck.
I I don't know how to use the green end of the scale. I'll be honest.
That's
like,
true.
It's very unusual that I'm
there. I know. We don't spend a lot of time up here.
No, this is uncharted territory.
All right. So, I mean, Andy, I'm with you. I think the second sighting in 97 and everything that happened in the 2000, the aughts, I'm not buying it. I'm saying case closed. That's all bullshit, fucking flares, whatever. Whatever they want to say that it is, it is. It's not any kind of weird craft. It's not any kind of alien. I'm not buying any of it. I think that the first flying V was this first craft in 97 is, I'm going to say, case confirmed, is a military spy craft.
Wow.
Secret, top secret stuff.
Wow.
Case confirmed that this is some kind of top secret spy plane, stealth plane, stealth technology that they're just testing out. I think something happened. I think either it crashed or something came off of it, or I don't know, whatever. Maybe the local Air Force didn't even know about it. They're like, what the fuck? You guys seen this shit up here? I think the second sighting was in response to the first sighting.
Maybe it turned at Tucson and was making like a triangular pattern and going to go over Goldwater through Yuma and back into, maybe this thing came from Area 51. Came from Nevada.
Close. They're very close. Obviously, there are secret bases up there. We don't know what they're doing. I think that's what happened. I think the second thing was in response to the first thing. I think these flares were actually being used to search the ground for something. I don't know what. I don't know if it crashed. It is not extraterrestrial. I'm not buying that one, but I'm saying case confirmed. It's a secret military spy plane.
Case confirmed.
It is a UFO.
What?
Because we don't know what the fuck it is.
Huh? A very plausible and a case confirmed.
This is a good episode.
This is
you
want to
talk about the golden age of Bunker?
Yeah.
I think it's back.
I think this is a new golden age dawns.
Yeah.
In Bunktopia.
Bunkfuckers, those were our verdicts. Very positive. Does not happen often. So check that off on your bunker bingo.
Bunker bingo.
Let us know what you think. What's your verdicts? We want to know.
Oh, yeah. What do you think? And if you think it's extraterrestrials, tell us all about it.
Yeah. Why? Let us know. Email us, MrBunkerPod@gmail.com. We'll use the what's the hashtag? I don't remember how to do this.
The hashtag...
Phony lights. Dirigible. Yeah, go ahead. Have fun spelling that one.
All right. Hashtag dirigible.
Hashtag dirigible. Let us know what you think about this topic. Email us, MrBunkerPod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter. Find us on Instagram @MrBunkerPod. Find us on YouTube. We are trending at number 2. If you just search Mr. Bunker, we've almost owned that keyword. If you search Mr. Bunker on YouTube, we come up number 2. Number 1 is Mr. Beast. He has a video where he like spent time in a bunker and it's got like a bajillion views.
Hey, we're beating Archie Bunker though?
We have blown Archie Bunker out of the water.
Well, you know, Carol O'Connor can't catch us now cuz he's dead. The age of Carol O'Connor has ended and the age of Mr. Bunker's conspiracy time has begun.
So go ahead and search on YouTube for Mr. Bunker. You'll find our YouTube channel. We've got a ton of great videos coming out.
Oh, Archie.
We got great videos on the YouTube. And if you feel so inclined, you really enjoy the show, you want to help keep the lights on and support it, and you have the means to do so, you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/MrBunkerPod, where we are putting out tons of cool episodes. You get a lot of non-unsolved stuff. Like, we're covering true crime stuff now.
Things that have been solved.
Things that have been solved, like serial killer stories, other true crime.
You know, if we get enough subscribers on Patreon, Art and I will take a trip to Arizona, eat at Five Simonton's restaurant, and write a review for the patrons.
Sure. We'll do fucking weird stuff like that, too. We're going to need a lot of Patreons, but, you know.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
Because we'll only stay in 4-star hotels.
That's very true. We have that in our rider. But, you know, you can get sneak peeks on all the episodes, sneak peeks of the bunker videos before they go live. We also have green M&Ms only. and chicken wings on the bone.
Raw.
we just want to make you go get that.
We like to make stock when we get into our green room.
Yeah. There's a lot of other cool stuff. You can join the Bunker Discord on Patreon, chat with
us. That's
fun. Have a lot of fun there. And soon, you can also get access to the Bunker newsletter.
Ooh.
Lots of fun stuff on the Patreon. Good times had by all. Well, Andy, this has been one for the ages, I gotta tell you.
This was a great topic.
Jeremy, you fucking knocked it out of the park, buddy.
You know, and I think Jeremy, when Jeremy first sent in this topic, I think Jeremy kind of undersold it. Made it seem like, at least this is my recollection of it.
Yeah. I remember Jeremy opened the email with a woo or a yo.
Ayo.
I think it was ayo, and then we mistakenly said that Jeremy's a werewolf. He might still be.
Ayo, Jeremy of Arizona. But I feel like Jeremy undersold it, and
that's the play.
Yeah, maybe that's the play. And then he sent us a picture of that cool candle from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Very true. Well, thank you again to Jeremy, and thank you again to all of you for listening. And
#dirigible
for not the titular Mr. Bunker, but for my fantabulous.
Fantabulous?
Fantabulous.
Oh, wow.
Co-host Andy Hart. I'm Art Stone, saying that was the whole enchilada.
Thanks for riding in my Tercel, our man boat. See you next time in Deliciousville on Restaurants, Restaurants, and Restaurants.